The very trials that seem to you.
Blessings and happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you hear me clear? Mic check. All right. Thank you. So before we start, I'll invite you to pray. Please kneel if you can. Our dear Heavenly Father, we gather together to praise and worship you on this delightful Sabbath day. We continue to ask your holy presence to fill our hearts with joy and gladness, making us to love you more and walk in faith, not by sight. Thank you for blessing the children's and adult studies earlier. We lift all the prayer requests of your children, the spoken and the unspoken. We especially pray for Sister Vanessa's daughter, Francesca. She's having another baby girl. May your will be done for this new baby, Lord. We want to trust you more, and we know that you will answer all this prayer, Lord, in accordance to your holy will. We also pray for those who are sick, physically and spiritually, that you will make them whole. And Lord, this moment, please bridle my tongue as I speak on your behalf, as you bridle the tongue of who speak earlier. And please, Father, forgive us for all the sins we have committed against thee. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and King forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Okay. So today is September 14, 2024. And our sermon title is The Open Door. We have a note here. Sister Janina will post it. And those who are in the radio, W2PR, you can simply type in your browser sdrmovement.org/note/091424.html. That is today's date. Okay. All right, thank you. I'll mention that. Thank you. Okay, so if you're ready, now we're going to begin. In John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." This declaration really puts everyone at peace. Christ is the door, which means he gave us a way to connect with the Father through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So by dying and rising again, Christ defeated sin, and he opened up a way for us to really break free from the grip of the devil and from eternal death. Yes, Jesus is absolutely the one and only way to gain eternal life. That's why he said in John 14, verse 6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Many thanks to Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our Mediator. And we can confidently approach God the Father at His throne of grace, seeking His mercy through faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 2, Romans 5 verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Also in Ephesians chapter 3, 11 to 12, Ephesians chapter 3, 11 to 12, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. See, in this passage, the word boldness doesn't mean being reckless or overconfident. It is about approaching Him without doubt and having the confidence that our prayers will be answered if we ask Him according to His will. Because in 1 John chapter 5, 14, 1 John chapter 5, 14, we are told, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, see, there is a condition. According to His will, He heareth us. Yes, God will hear our prayers if we follow His will. And what is His will, by the way? Psalms chapter 40, verse 8. Psalms chapter 40, verse 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart. So God's will is basically His law, His Ten Commandments. And why is it that we should always remember and keep God's law or God's word in our hearts and minds? Psalms 119 verse 11. Psalms 119 verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the law, His will, is a shield so that he will not sin against God. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, Ecclesiastes 8, 4, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. See? So, by allowing God's law to be written in our hearts, we receive grace and divine power to help us avoid breaking His law and committing sin. Of course, all through Christ, which strengthens us. Again, in John chapter 10, verse 9, John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if, again, it's conditional, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. So by referring to Himself as the door, Jesus highlighted three main blessings that His people may enjoy if they step into the area of blessing through Him. Number one, it is all about the blessing of being saved. Number two, it is to go in and out, which is actually the blessing of protection, prosperity, and freedom. And number three is to find pasture, which is about spiritual nourishment. Let us elaborate a little bit about these three blessings. So when Jesus said, if any man enter into the door, he shall be saved, what does He mean? How shall we be saved? So there are few texts here, connected texts that answers this question. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So number one, we should call upon the name of God, the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Acts chapter 15, verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." In Mark 16:16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Proverbs 28:18, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." And one more verse, Matthew 24:13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So to enter this door means we have to call on the name of the Lord, for we are justified by His death. We must believe His grace and be baptized and to walk perfectly until our last breath. That's the first blessing. Now the second is the place going in and out is the blessing of protection, prosperity, and freedom, as I've said earlier, because in Deuteronomy 28 verse 6, it says, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." So this is a promise to the obedient. If you look on that chapter, this is like the beatitude in the Old Testament. Okay, it's a lot of blessing of the Lord. So this promise is to the obedient, but of course to the disobedient, they are cursed. No matter where we go, okay, whether inside or outside, in our public or private life, during all our journeys near and far, we can expect protection and to find success, whether things are going well or not, whether in prosperity or adversity. There's a blessing in everything we do. Remember, we will have the blessings from above. That's a promise. Now another thing in Acts chapter 9:28. It says, "And he was with them," talking about Paul, "coming in and going out at Jerusalem." So what this text means? So the background is when Paul joined himself with the disciples in Jerusalem, you know, with the Peter, James, and John, he had the freedom to preach boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, that no one forbid him or hinder him doing his duty. So the coming in and going out also suggests freedom. Keep in mind that the Jews were so exclusive. They have no free access to God because they would not go out to other nations to share the gospel. They became selfish and boastful. Instead of opening the door of blessing of God, Because the Lord give them the oracles of God. Instead of sharing this blessing to others, they close it. How? By rejecting Christ. And that's a warning for us not to copy their example of stubbornness and their apostasy. But through the grace of Christ, we have the blessings that we can freely communicate with other people the gospel of salvation, if we are willing. That's why we have different ways to share the gospel. We have the internet, we have the videos, we have a Bible studies, tracts, booklets. There's a lot of available materials we can use, and the Bible itself. And thank you so much for the brethren who are supporting to give the Bibles to those people in need who cannot buy their Bible. Because in Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Now, just a little testimony. Someone asked me recently if the POGM YouTube videos of Pastor Nick are monetized, because other ministries do that. You know, they're getting a lot of subscriber. Of course, they're receiving compensation in every click, every hit, you know, by using this one, using the Word of God. So what I said to him, that the channel, the POGM channel, is not monetized at all, because, you know, it makes the gospel look very cheap, you know. Because if you will notice, if you watch the YouTube videos, there's also advertisement, right? So that's how they get the money, right? But no way. It is really a shame to God, because He told us that what we freely receive, we should give freely. And the guy who asked me totally responded with a big amen to that. Yes, a big amen. Big amen. Also, you know, Pastor Sidney, who has more than 800,000 followers on social media, he was actually offered to monetize his channel, but he declined it by God's grace, because he chose not to commercialize the Word of God. So indeed, we cannot treat the sacred things of God like products to sell. So let's give thanks to God and glorify His name for having ministers who are steadfast and true in their holy calling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. I cannot think enough. Our Lord. Why? Because we have freedom. We are free. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Again, praise the Lord, for Christ has set us free. Freedom from the bondage of sin, whether it is personal or corporate sin, because we responded to God's call to come out from her, from these corrupt and Babylonian churches. And now we are enjoying the fellowship of our true God and Master. We are now gathering together as one, although we don't know each other personally. But here you go. Here we are in this medium of communication. We are what? Enjoying the feast. But remember, our religious freedom or rights will be taken out soon. Persecution is inescapable. But just like the early Christians, it is God's means of spreading the gospel so that many more people will hear the word of the gospel and enter into that open door. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So the SDR church is now a worldwide church. Praise the Lord, for we are part of this movement. The last generation of Christians. That's why we really need to make the most of this peaceful time. Why? Because once the mark of the beast is enforced, which is very soon, you know, we might look back, you know, and regret not taking action when we had a chance. We might say during this time of trouble, "Oh, I should have done this. I should have told this to my friends, to my neighbors, to everyone." But that time will be too late. It is now that we have to do our duty. Remember, there is a warning in the testimonies. Oh yeah, it's already happening on Facebook. They are attacking religious groups, removing posts and censoring. Yeah, censorship is really rampant now. Okay. So in 5D 463.2, it says, "The work which the church has failed to do in a time of peace and prosperity, she will have to do in a terrible crisis under most discouraging, forbidding circumstances." This day is just before us. The members of the church will individually be tested and proved. They will be placed in circumstances where they will be forced to bear witness for the truth. Many will be called to speak before councils and in courts of justice, perhaps separately and alone. We don't know who's going to be talking in the Senate or in Congress to answer all these allegations and making us look like a terrorist. But we have to speak up for our faith, like the apostles did, like the reformers did. The experience which would have helped them in this emergency, they have neglected to obtain, and their souls are burdened with remorse or wasted opportunities and neglected privileges. So, if we have a chance, if we have this opportunity to share our faith to others, let's do this now, not tomorrow. And let's confess our neglect of duty, the wasted opportunities that we have. We must redeem the time, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, moving on. The third blessing is about to find pasture, which is about the spiritual nourishment that the good shepherd provides. Like, that is milk for the babes, meat for the strong man, sweet to the taste and health to the bones, which makes our heart glad. So consider these following passages. Ezekiel 34:14. Ezekiel 34:14. "I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Hebrews chapter 5:14, Hebrews 5:14, but strong men belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The fact that the Lord Jesus stands between His church and all its adversities, or adversaries, I mean, enemies, really provides a sense of security as well as opportunity to personally experience God's helping hand, just as Paul did. Because in 1 Corinthians 16:8-9, it says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So, Jesus is the open door. He's inviting passage and communication. So we should come in through Jesus Christ, who is the door, by believing that He is the high priest. He's our high priest, our advocate and intercessor between God and man. There are many amazing promises for those who choose to follow His lead. Remember, Christ looks after His church just like a good shepherd takes care of his flock. And He wants us to stay close to Him and remain in His fold. Unfortunately, there is a curse for those who harm and scatter the sheep by their corrupt conduct, example, and false teaching. That's why in Jeremiah 23 verse 1, it says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. That's why they're going to receive 10 times of the wrath of God, the plagues, while the people of God will receive 10 times the power of the latter rain. In Revelation chapter 3, 7-8, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, 7 to 8, okay, thank you. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. In Review and Herald, March 26, 1889, there's a commentary on this. It says here, the true witness has given us the assurance that He has set before us an open door, which no man can shut. Who is that? It's no other than Jesus. And those who are seeking to be faithful to God may be denied many of the privileges of the world. Yeah, because look, if you keep the Sabbath, then the company nowadays they force you to work on Sabbath. Okay, so you will lose your job if you don't follow their policy or what. So there's a lot of things that you're gonna lose, but better to lose your job than lose Jesus, right? So again, those who are seeking to be faithful to God may be denied many of the privileges of the world. Their way may be hedged up and their work hindered by the enemies of truth. But there is no power that can close the door of communication between God and their souls. The Christian himself may close this door. How? By indulgence in sin or by rejection of heaven's light. Okay. Oh, Brother Arthur, I get the Sabbath straight during the employment interview. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you are obedient and faithful, the Lord has provided one for you. Praise the Lord. So again, we may close this open door by indulgence in sin or by rejection of heaven's light. He may turn away his ears from hearing the message of truth, and in this way sever the connection between God and his soul. Neither man nor Satan can close the door which Christ has opened for us. Praise the Lord. And one more quotation, Letter chapter 7. Letter 7, July 22, 1877. Letter 7, July 22, 1877, it says, "The city of God, with all its attraction, is saying, 'Come, if we can by a holy life, by entreaties, by prayers, by warnings, point to the sinner to the way of escape, and fasten their attention to the heavenly gates open to receive them. If by faith they can see that the entrance into life is an open door, everything is gained. The earthly attractions will fade away. The heavenly will win and charm the soul. The hindrances that hold us back from perfecting Christian characters are in ourselves.'" So we cannot blame others. It's on us. Jesus can remove them. The cross he requires us to bear will create strength in us more than it consumes and remove our heaviest burdens to take the burden of Christ, which is light. Conflicts and trials we must meet in the discharge of duty. Of course, it's part of our Christian life. Christ has called us to glory and to virtue. The life he has through his own suffering and death prepared for us to live would never have caused us a pain or grief if we had never left it. Every self-denial and every sacrifice we make in following Christ are so many steps of the lost sheep returning to the fold. The doors of the heavenly Canaan are opened wide and bid us all come in. We will not climb up some other way, but enter through the door. God help you, my children. Make thorough work for eternity. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, let's take a moment to thank God with all our heart and learn to approach Him as through an open door, confident that He will hear and answer our prayers. By believing in His power to help, and we will be strengthened to fight the battles of the Lord and be overcomers to gain the victory. Remember to look at the open door when tempted. Of course, we are still here. There's still possible to fall. Temptation will not end. But we have to look at the open door. The Lord has given us His strength, courage. He gives us light. So no power can dim that light of glory from heaven along the path as we advance. And we will see and understand more when darkness is defeated and God's glory covers the earth. We can ask God when we are in heaven, why this happened? And He will explain to us. So, we will realize that heaven is actually closer than we think. We could have heaven, in fact, in our homes while preparing for heaven above. Right? We must be first become saints here on earth before we become saints there in heaven. Since the camp meeting is only a week away, are you excited? We are. I would like to read two quotes as to what to expect. And of course, as a reminder. Yeah, I am. Of course, yes. First, it says here in Gospel Worker 222.2. This Gospel Worker 1892. Pages or page 222, paragraph 2. Very. Praise the Lord. Our brethren and sisters, come to camp meeting, hoping to receive the blessing of the Lord. Of course, that's why we want to go. Right? We are hoping to receive the blessing. But yet, it is often the case that they do not know just what to do to make the meeting a benefit to themselves or to others. But what happened when I come there in the camp meeting? It will be like, is it like a vacation? Huh? No. How can it be a benefit for me and to others? Many do not realize but that the only object for which they came is merely to hear preaching. So maybe they're thinking, oh, I'm going to sit over there and listen to Pastor Nick the whole day and, you know, fellowshipping or whatever. But that's not enough. If that is your expectation, then think again. Therefore, they do not strive for the blessing of God. They do not, from the very beginning of the meeting, feel the necessity of what? Confessing their sins and striving for the earnest of the Spirit. They do not know that the success of the meeting depends largely upon themselves, and therefore do not feel the burden of the work. So the very first effort of ministers should be to set them in a way of working for themselves. That's why we are discussing this now. We are talking about this open door. We are setting ourselves in a proper way. So let the minds and hearts of the people be enlisted in the work. So it's a teamwork. between the ministers and the church members. All of us will be working together. And last sentence here says, let all be taught what they must do to open the door of the hearts to Jesus that they may receive Him gladly. So, in Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 6 and 7. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 6 and 7, it says, the convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is a personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. Remember, we are always asking for the Lord to give us the latter rain. And the camp meeting is one agency of the Lord. It says here, moving on, we must pray that God will unseal the fountain of the water of life. And we must ourselves receive of the living water. Let us, with contrite hearts, pray most earnestly that now, in the time of the latter rain, when is the time of the latter rain? It is now. Not tomorrow, it is now. Let us pray that the shower of grace may fall upon us. And at every meeting we attend, like what we having now, our prayer should ascend that at this very time, God will impart warmth and moisture to our souls. Do you feel the warmth? Do you feel the moisture? Right now, as we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting latter rain. That is the main point why we need it. It makes us perfect. And if we pray for the blessing in faith, we shall receive it as God has promised. So those brethren who are coming to the camp meeting, we implore you, we ask you to focus on your daily walk and make a fast if you need to before coming in. But if you can make it for any reason, you can still be part of it in spirit. How? By sending up your prayers. By confessing your sins as well. Hopefully, we can have another meeting next year if God allows it. Especially with how crazy things are getting in the world now. Right? You don't know. Maybe next meeting will be in heaven, but that's too soon. Again, only God knows. But let's just prepare ourselves, prepare our heart. Lastly, my last text here is found in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So, dear brothers and sisters, on this Sabbath day, It really feels like all heaven is inviting all of us to come and enter in that open door by faith. But that door, remember, is not going to stay open for much longer. Why? Soon, provision will end. Mercy will no longer plead. So when Christ finishes His work in the most holy place and raises His hands, declaring with a loud voice that it is done, that is when the open door will forever shut for the wicked and disobedient. But by entering into that open door, into the holiest, thanks to the blood of Jesus, and holding tight to the door of hope, we find in the gospel, we can cling to Christ and separate ourselves from the corruption of the world. It's all about being in Christ and being led by Christ. By denying and crucifying ourselves, crucifying self, by believing and working, and by being partaker of the divine nature. Only in this way, my dear brothers and sisters, only in this way, that we may obtain an abundant entrance into God's kingdom, which is definitely the heaven. I hope and pray that you are blessed this Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. For that song, that song is really a blessing. The title of that song is "I Ask the Lord." Yeah, praise the Lord. So, shall we pray to close the service? Dear Father in heaven, we desire to enter that door, which is wide open for each one of us. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, who died for us, so that we can once again approach you with boldness and confidence to your throne of grace. Thank you. Thank you so much for providing us with a glimpse of heaven so that we can be inspired more to endure to the end despite of many trials and temptations that come our way. And to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Please bless your church, Holy Father. Bless your people around the world so that we can all remain together in truth and love for you and for one another. We beseech you, Lord, to shower us today with the abundant latter rain you have promised. And please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day as we continue meet tonight for our prayer and study meeting. Please forgive us, Lord, for all the sins we have committed against thee. For we ask all this thing in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.